comfortable, nice place over there.
Over there. Uh-huh. They got a plenty shade, and their house is a nice place, I think. And they keeps it kind of cleaned up around there. Now the boy, they raised, I don't know why she told me that boy was. They raised one or two.
Oh.
And they got up going there. Left. Now this boy, I don't know where he come from. She did tell me, but I forgot where he come from. But he stayed with them till the old man died. And then him and her married after so long.
That's a nice place over there. I like it.
Yes. Pure nice place.
And she said Mr. Guthrie, whenever they paved that River Six Road, he didn't care for that. He wanted it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But them big landlords around there put it through. And
he didn't want it.
No.
Mr. Guthrie didn't want it.
He didn't want that pavement, no.
Wonder why.
Raise taxes for one thing. That's a good reason, isn't it?
Mm.
And you see, they got him on two sides.
Oh, yeah.
You see, they done the same thing to them. The road there from Cross Creek and the Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes way long on both sides, you see. So no telling how much they raised his taxes.
Well, it's one thing about it. If they want to pave it, you just rest assured, all right.
Yes.
Because they're going to do it.
They're going to do it.
Do it. They don't need a sin. No. You just have to say, all right.
No.
I know when this road going from Everson to McIntosh, I know when it was sand. Well, Mr. Mac Bateman, where you see his fence was closed. They had a time with him. He didn't want it. He wasn't going to move his fence. He wasn't going to agree with him, no way. But you see something going on through there, don't you?
That's right.
They moved that fence back and put that road on through there. Well, the neighbors tried to talk with him and show him how much convenient it would be and how much easier it would be to travel and all that. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
But anyway, they put it on, do they?
Yeah.
Sought that fence back where they want it.
Yeah.
But one thing they do, they put your fence back. They fix it back. They don't leave it down. Put him in there. Oh, of course, he was kind of hard to deal with anyway. Mr. Bateman was. See, before they put that road through there, right down below where I stayed, you see, when it rained, them ponds would meet, cover up that road with water down there. But since they put this road through there, it'll come up there, but it don't stay.
Mm-hmm.
They got pipes or something under there for that water to run on out into Orange Lake, they say. My goodness, you couldn't, if it rained a lot, you couldn't see the road through there. But when that sand was there and the road was lower, well, you see, that water was steady a while.
A good while.
That's right. But after they fixed that road through there, it don't stay that long. But they couldn't tell Mr. Bateman what, how much convenient it would be and how much easier it would be. They couldn't tell him that. Why? He didn't have to travel there. He didn't care.
You never had a, there, nobody much had a horse and buggy after you got down here.
Down here where I was?
Yeah.
Well, somebody used to have a horse and buggy.
And mostly cars, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, mostly cars after I got down here. Cars and trucks.
Yeah.
Few folks had wagons. And Woodard Coleman, he had his wagon.
Yeah.
I know he had his wagon and all. And I know when I first come down in here, and I used to work on the Richardson's farm, where we had to walk. They didn't have trucks to haul you to the field then. He farmed with teams, mules and plows and things like that. He had to fly stuff by hand. Well, he had a bunch of men work for him.
Go ahead. Yes, so.
Go
right ahead with your talk, please. Yeah. Sit down. Enjoy it.
Huh? What'd you say?
Well, Napoleon been down to see you this
morning? No, he hadn't got on when I left. I don't know whether Bessie turned him out yet or not.
Yeah. He don't get out very early, does he? No, she don't let him out very early.
She got where she don't get up early and he can't get out till she get up and let him out.
Well, he comes down.
But he comes every day. He'll be there. When he get down there, he stays the most of the day under that tree.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. Whether you like.
He likes that tree. I told Bess one day, I said, well, the goose likes my place not better than he do yours. She said, look like it. He's still there all the time.
But he doesn't offer to go away.
No. He just, he stay there as long as you want him, walk around under that tree and the shit. Then he goes back to see what his best is doing. He's still there while he come back.
Now, if anybody comes over there to see Betsy, he'll go back home?
He'll go back over there.
See who it is.
He'll go hollering. Tell him, well, she's there. That's what I tell him. I say, she's there. Go on. Yeah, he's almost like human. You can talk to him almost like I talk to you.
Yeah.
You think he understands?
I believe he do. I believe he understands, but he just can't explain.
Yeah.
Now, that car, y'all go out from here, going over there, he'll start hollering.
Yeah.
He knows you. He know that's your car. Plenty more cars pass, and he don't say nothing.
Yeah. I always speak to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tap the horn.
And he know it.
Is your family
going to
be all right now?
Yes, I think they're doing pretty good now. Well, the baby, he's still in the hospital.
Yeah.
Doris carried his mother up there last night, late yesterday evening, to see him. They say he's getting along all right, but they ain't let him come home yet. His mother's home and the other boy, his brother's home.
Yeah.
But he's still in.
That was pretty hard on the family, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And my Lord, it was so hot up there in that church yesterday. It was just like that.
Yeah.
And there was many outdoors as there was in church. You see, it's a small church. And somebody said, yeah, that church is just too little. I said, he'll be big enough after the day.
Yeah.
I said, it's a little membership belong to that church. I said, after the day, until another day like this, that church be plenty big. Oh, and they had the most pretty flowers. Most flowers. But the family, it was the quietest funeral I think I ever been to.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was just quiet. You see, you can stand on Elizabeth's porch and look right in the church door. And Doris said, as I was telling Doris, and I said, well, I said, that was as quiet a funeral as ever I've been to. I said, I'm so glad I didn't know why. I said, they started hollering there, I'd have sure had to come home. I'd have come home. She said, yes, Elizabeth said it was so quiet over there. She couldn't hear nothing. So she come on the porch to see what was going on. I said, she couldn't see what was going on. She said, well, she didn't hear nothing over there. I said, no. The preacher talked so nice and quiet. You couldn't hardly hear what he said back there where I was. But we couldn't see him.
Couldn't see him?
Mm-mm.
No.
So many.
They wouldn't.
Oh, I
see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you had, was
the
other little boy, was that his funeral too?
Yes, sir.
Both of them.
They had the cast just like that.
Yeah.
They had the funerals at the same time and in the same church, but they buried them in different cemeteries.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the cemetery. No, my son, he come to the house Thursday, I think. One day he come down to the house. He had some clothes there. And he said, Mama said, I'm looking for my dark suit. Said, Helen wants me to get it for the film. He said, but we ain't gonna be able to see that boy. I said, they ain't gonna let you see him. He said, no, they ain't gonna let you see him. Said, he's in too bad a shape. So somebody told me Miss Martin went to the undertaker parlor. Well, this boy's daddy went, but I don't know where he's seen him now. And said that they had a green veil over her boy, and she'd have to look at him through that veil. But what can you see? Looking through a green veil. I don't know what you look like. But that's why I said, well, I wouldn't have looked.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have looked at him like that. But my grandfather, you couldn't see him at all. And that you see him. And at the church, you couldn't see now one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't own now one of them.
Mm-hmm.
At the church.
Now this is the first thing that's ever happened to you all, isn't it?
Like this. Yes. And it was bad, Mr. Marks. Bad. But I look at it this way, the first thing got to happen. It's happened to a heap of folks before it happened to us. Just like that.
Without any warning. No warning. No warning.
No, sir. No warning.
Just going home. They were just going home.
Yes, sir. Elizabeth, she's home. She's doing pretty good. I think they brought her home Wednesday. I think they let her come home. But she can't do nothing. Now, I guess it would be a long time before she do.
Oh, really?
She can't. She can just creep around in the house and go back to bed. I told her, I said, well, Elizabeth, I said, you be careful, child, and don't do nothing to throw you back. And he got her tape, I think, from here down to here. And he got some plasters on her shoulder here. She got bruised there and something in her back. And she can't pick up her feet and walk. She just have to kind of slide along.
Mm-hmm.
But down here, they got her taped from here right under her shoulder, clean down to there.
Oh, really?
Wide tape, and then he's strapped. So I guess it takes all that to get the ribs set.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So I don't know how long she'll be like that. So there ain't nobody up there but the baby. And she went to see him yesterday morning. He asked her when she was coming back. And she told him, say, I'll be back this evening. So she called her mom about 7:30 yesterday and told her Sammy want to come take her back up there to see him. Said she promised him she was coming back and she wanted to go back. So her mom went and carried her. I told him, well, I'll be glad when he come home.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I want him to keep him till he be able to come home. You see, he had some head injury. I think that's where the most of his hurts was, in his head. I told him, Mrs. Marlowe, I said, well, he didn't have much sense. I said, when he get over this, he ain't gonna have a bit. I said, they done something to his head. I said, my conscience, that's the worst thing could ever happen. Shedrick, he, you see, his mom, she's not able to take care of him.
That's right.
So, they keep him there where they can take care of him. The other boy who's been in there, he's home, but he's so weak.
Mm-hmm.
He looks so weak. He'll get up, but he can't stay up long. He has to go lay back down. I told him, I said, don't get up so regular. I said, just lay on there and listen. See, you don't feel like getting up. You can't do nothing. I said, just stay there and listen. Well, the folks were so nice to us. Miss Ma, she brought a cake. My sister from Plant City, some of her friends and neighbors, she baked a big cake like that. Lucy said she told her, said, I don't want a camel. Can't say, yeah. Say, you take it. I feel like some help out. So, Friday evening, she brought the cake to Lucy's house, and Lucy brought it on a pin. Then from one to the other, you know, would just bring different things. But some of the folks, what you might have thought, would have donated something. They haven't been seen. They haven't showed up to the house, and they didn't show up at the church. Now, Dama said, well, that's the way it be. I said, folks, you be looking for, they don't come, but so many come in their place. Mm-hmm. I say, you just miss seeing them, and that's all.
Some people just can't stand sickness and trouble.
No, so some folk can't, but some of these can stand anything. But they just didn't come. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's time, when you ain't doing nothing, you can have too much company. Mm-hmm. But when you need them, you can't find them. That's the way it is over here. Plenty of folks you would look for and think they would come, ask you, could they help you? Was it anything I can do to help you? Let me know. Or something like that. But they didn't. They didn't come. And I'll tell you something else. And you can believe it. Now, her granddaddy, that's Ben, he haven't asked, do y'all want me to do anything? Or could I help you? Do anything? If so, let me know. No. He haven't said one word, and they go to see him and come back, and I ask them, well, how is the children? They tell him, he hadn't asked how Nan was feeling. Do you know what's on his mind? Nothing but 4 miles. That's right. The insurance man come there the other day, Miss Mars. He took out some fire insurance on the house. Well, I paid all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the insurance man, he said to me, he said, Daisy said, you want to pay your fire insurance? And I said, he's here. I said, he can pay it for himself now. He said this. I can't pay no insurance. I got to go back to Fort Myers. I ain't got no money to spend. I told insurance man, I said, well, I can't pay today. I said, but I hope to pay next week when you come back. And he don't buy a thing. No, he don't. He don't buy nothing. He bought a little something when he first come. He'd buy a little piece of bacon. He'd buy a dozen of eggs. A long one. But Daisy bought the groceries. I have to buy the groceries. bacon and eggs is not groceries. You need something to go with it. So, I don't say nothing to him. Bessie tells me all the time. Say, Miss Daisy said, let him know. Say, don't bother him. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I said, Miss Daisy's about overloaded with being right. I said, I tell you that. I said, he don't do nothing but just sit there and nod and make like he reading. I said, he could do something. I said, nah, he gonna tell me plainly he ain't gonna pay no closer. Well, you see, since he been here, and I know him, he done got 2 Social Security checks. Well, he got them all there. Well, what he gonna care back to Fort Myers for? Besides, some of the money he brought from Fort Myers, what he worked for. Well, my Savior, if he ain't gonna help me and ain't gonna help take care of the bills and nothing, when he come, he just might as well stay in Fort Myers forever, for my say so. If I got to pay gas bill, light bill, buy groceries, insurance bill, and she sit up there with his money in his pocket, he just makes well to be in Fort Myers. You know, I feel better not looking at him doing like that. And I do looking at him.
How'd you all ever get to talking and calling him Big Ben?
That's somebody else done it. I didn't do it. That's these children around here, Clyde Gill and Buddy and all that bunch out there. They call him that.
How come they call him that?
I don't know why they call him that.
Big Ben.
If you don't call him that, they call him Schoolboy. They call him that a lot, Schoolboy.
I come on.
I buy what I think he will eat. I cook it. I feed him. Put it there where he can get it. I buy eggs, I buy bacon, I buy juice, and I've been doing it. But I'm gonna quit. It's not right for me to take what little money I work for and what little I get and buy stuff to feed him with, and he sit up there with his money in his pocket and won't help me do nothing. He'll eat what I have from now on. That's right. That's what I do. I eat what I got. Plenty of things I buy. I don't have to buy it. Well, you see, now just like Miss Myers, she give me juice. Where I work at, she give me juice sometimes. And different folks give me things. Well, I put it there for him, especially, trying to help him to get well and get strong. So he told me this morning. He said, well, I reckon I'll be leaving Thursday, going back to my job. I said, okay. Well, if you're going back to your job, look like you could do a little something at home. If you're able to go work on your job, look like you could do a little something on your home. But I tell you this, I don't expect he'll find it like he been, because he ain't strong. He ain't no good. He ain't got no more business going back down there, trying to make days, and he is flying. But you can't tell him nothing. Just like I told Miss Bessie this morning. I said, well, he say going back Thursday. I said, let him go on. I said, but it may not find it like it did when it left. She said, Miss Daisy said, you ought to tell him. I said, I ain't going to tell him nothing. I said, if you want to tell him, don't go, you go tell him. I said, I ain't going to tell him because it ain't going to do no good. I said, nah, it's 2 or 3 times you've been over there and talked to him. And told him, said, now, Mr. Ben, say, you better stay home. Say, you're not able to work, and you stay here and let Miss Daisy cook and feed you and give you a nice place to rest. Say, you ain't doing nothing here but eating and resting. He couldn't stay here. He couldn't. I said, well, don't tell him, don't go. I said, let him go. I said, one day, Miss Bessie, he'll come home and stay. I said, cause he done told too many lies about it. He said when he got the house paid for, he was going to come home.
And I remember that.
And rest. The house been paid for 2 years, and he is still staying down there at the Fort Myers. I told him to stay.
But he did get the house paid for.
Ma'am?
He did pay for the house.
House been paid for 2 years. And he went away from the house this last time he went. He stayed longer than he ever. He stayed down there 9 months this time before he come home. So I reckon he'll stay a year the next time. But as I tell him, I say, you the boss. You do what you want to do.
Well, he sends you a little something along,
oh,
doesn't
yes,
he?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
He sends you some money.
He sends me some money.
Uh-huh.
Along.
He
been sending Miss Marlon where he go send me anywhere and go back or not. But I know one thing. He been sending.
Uh-huh.
He send money to pay his insurance. He been sending money to help me pay the bills. And say, well, the bills is going on now, and you sitting here with your money in your pocket. Well, you ought to give me some now. To
have money in his pocket.
Yes, he got money. He got 2 whole checks in his pocket.
Yeah.
Cause he done got 2 checks.
That's
he come here in June. And this is August.
Nobody can carry money in the pocket, Miss
Daisy. Mm-hmm. Well, he got it somewhere. I don't know where he got it at. He got it somewhere.
Yeah, but he oughtn't to have it in his pocket, ought
he? He ought not to go back to Fort Myers. He oughtn't. I don't know why, and he don't try to find out why. But his breath is short, and sometimes it just gets shorter. He can sit up there on the porch, and you can see him just panting. Well, we've been trying to get him to go to the doctor. He won't go. The nurse come over there to see him and talk to him and try to get him. Well, as she come and talk with him, he made like he was better. Well, he did do a little better for a while, but he ain't no good. He just ain't no good. And he won't try to help himself. Is I told Bessie say, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to make him go to the doctor and let you see him. I said, he was made when I met him. He was made a long time before I seen him. And I said, you know, you can't make him do nothing. I said, you can ask him. I said, look how you begged him to go to the doctor and see about it. I said, what did he tell you? I don't need no doctor. I said, well, Beth, if he think he don't need him, how is I'm going to make him go to him? I said, I ain't going to bother him. If he don't want to try to take care of himself, well, let him treat himself like he want him. That's his self. told her, I know way to make him go to the doctor. If I get sick, ain't nobody got to make me go. Go, I'd be trying to get somebody to carry me. But he ain't. But one thing about him, he eats better. He got the way he eats better.
Yeah.
He eats 3 or 4 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
He eat his breakfast. Well, he about to eat again now. But he likes the wrong thing. If it's any cake there, he gonna eat that.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll eat that 3 or 4 times a day. But sometimes, if I have cake, I hide. Because he ain't no business eating so much cake.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No. I should eat something else.
Should eat vegetables or something. I'll cook peas.
Yeah.
He won't hardly even. He might eat a spoonful.
Well, if I thought he was a vegetable eater.
I thought so too. But if he can find any cake or any pie or anything, that's what he eats. But I got where I hide it. If I have some,
Now that may be what he's been eating down at Fort Myers.
You know what he told me? I asked him more. I said, "Well, Ben," I said, "when do you fix your lunch?" "At night." I said, "You have to go to work so soon in the morning." Well, he said they have to get the bus 5 o'clock in the morning. Because where he work at is so far from town. He said, if I fix him, I'll fix it at night. He said, sometimes I don't fix no lunch. I said, well, what you do? He said, I'll go by the store and get me a box of crackers, a box of sardines, and that'll be my lunch. I said, Ben, you know, that ain't nothing for you to work on. I said, that ain't nothing to work on. I said, that's just something to nibble on, sardines and crackers. I said, that's not food. He said, well, it's all right for me. I said, well, if it's all right for you, it's all right for me. If you like it like that, I said, I can live with it. I said, but I do know it's nothing to work on. I just don't know what's wrong with the man myself. Somebody says old, I say, I'm old too. I said, he don't claim to be as old as me. I said, now he told about John to the dentist, he was 72. I said, I'm in my 79. Dar said, well, Mama, there ain't no need of talking about what Daddy said. Say, you know Daddy old on there. I said, I don't know nothing about his name. I just know what he said.
Miss Daisy, sometimes when a person gets sick like Ben is, they don't always say the things they really mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't think. He said to me one day that he couldn't think very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to forgive him for some things.
Oh, yeah, and let him know. Let him think like he wants. But do you know the way I see? If you can think about doing the wrong thing, you ought to could think about doing right sometime. And when you just do wrong things, just like tearing up moving things and putting them where they don't belong, taking them from where they is and put them here somewhere or another. I call it devilment. That's what I call it. Just that mean, that's what I call it. Well, you see it there. That's where I want it. Why not let it stay? If you can think about moving it, you ought to think about letting it alone.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the way I see it, Mr. Mahal. I can't think neither. I can't think like I used to, but I don't think about tearing up.
Uh-huh.
I forget things that's past, but sometimes it'll come to my memory. But when I forget that, I ain't going to come here and take these magazines and throw them out there with them. They don't belong there. They belong right here. Where you put them? Well, that's what he does all the time. Just new things and throw them where they ain't got no business doing. I have to go behind him. What's not do a child?
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Now, what is that? Magazines? What do you do with them?
I say, Miss Miles put these magazines here.
Yeah.
Because she want them here. Well, now, if I can think to take them away from here and throw them out, John, I can think to let them alone.
Yeah.
That's the way I see.
Our granddaddy won't leave them alone?
No, he won't leave nothing alone. He won't leave nothing alone. I come there yesterday evening. I had a piece of glass about that long. Well, I let it sit down on the table. When Elizabeth moved, she carried my looking glass with her. So I found a piece down there at the Dodge. They got three or four looking glasses on the floor. And I come yesterday evening from work. I went on in, fixed his supper, and I didn't get home till about 5. I went in, fixed his supper, and come on. Oh. And I looked in the chair, and there was pieces of glass all in the chair. I said, Ben, how did you break the glass in the chair? He said, it didn't break in the chair. It broke on the floor. I said, well, why would you pick it up off the floor, Ben, and put it in the chair where folks got to sit down? Well, I was going to move it. I said, well, if you was going to move it, if you picked it up off the floor, why didn't you put it in the trash can? All right. I got the supper fixed, and I went there, was doing something, sweeping up, getting the glass out the chair. I took the glass out the chair. Well, I moved the chair, and the glass was piled up all on the back of the chair. I'm talking about on the floor, behind the chair. So I got the broom and got it up the best I could. So, you know, glass is hard to get.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So, I said, well, tomorrow I'll look back there and see if there's any more back there. And I left. But I haven't said one word to him about it. No, not one word. You see, I don't want to send it to him.
Uh-huh.
Cause he'll say something to me I don't like, and I already don't like, but he breaking my glass.
Uh-huh.
If so, he had let it sat down on the table, well, he'd have been there.
So the best thing to do is just keep quiet.
Just keep quiet. And work. Clean up behind you. All right. I went in my room to go to bed. Well, there was a pile of tobacco on my bed. Well, I look on the floor, there's another pile of tobacco down there. Well, you see, he ain't had no business in my room. Of course, he ain't got nothing in there. Well, if you just going in there to mess it up, I'd rather you stay out. I ain't got up nerve enough to clean up that tobacco yet.
Oh, Miss Daisy.
I ain't got nerve enough to clean up. But I'm going back. When I go back, I'm going to clean it up. Because I told Miss Bessie. She said, what you doing this morning? I said, nothing much. I said, I started to work in the yard. I said, but I ain't going to do nothing out there. But she said, I'm going to take it easy.
Miss Davy, you have really trimmed up them bushes in front, haven't you?
Yes.
Oh, they are pretty.
I like it like that.
I do,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty and not neat.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where you've got all the nerve to cut them back so much. I never have the nerve.
Well, I have to get up the nerve.
Yes.
So I come a man there the other day. He said, "Who trims your hedge for me?" I said, "I do."
Yes.
I said, "I can't cut them like folks that do that for the living." I said, "But I can cut them back where I can see."
And you get air, too.
That's right. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that takes nerve.
Mm-hmm. He said so. "You got clippers?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "I ain't got nothing but these old piece of scissors." I said, "I want to get me a big pair of scissors." I said, "But I don't want no clippers." I said, "I ain't got sense enough to use them. I'll go start trying to cut chair, and the thing slips over that and leave it. But if I got scissors, it'll cut right where I put them. I get me some one these days. Big scissors.
Big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Miss Bessie hadn't got nerve enough to trim her camellia bush there.
I think, look like to me she said Mr. Gill trims hers.
He trim
what he want and what he don't, he leave it.
Mostly he leaves.
Uh-huh.
Well, she could trim the camellia bush if she wanted to by, when it blooms, cutting long stems.
Mm-hmm.
She hates to cut the buds, you know. But to cut the blossoms with long stems is what they tell you to do on the camellias.
Well, my flowers ain't been pretty this year. No way, so I don't mind cutting them back. Because they ain't been pretty. I don't know why, I don't know what happened. But they didn't bloom worth nothing. And they just ain't. Yeah. There's another thing, but I said, well, they can't be beautiful all the time.
No, no.
No, sir. Miss Bessie is not going to be able to see around that camellia bush. It's getting so big.
Well, maybe she'll get somebody to trim it back.
No, she won't. As bad as my fig tree there, you see?
Yeah.
It's done shut me clear out of the back pasture.
Uh-huh.
I can't see the cow.
And he's still growing.
Still growing.
Miss Bessie gets in a chair back behind her camellia bush, and you can't see her.
You can't see her.
Why, it's got to, you can't even see her foot sticking out.
You know, if it was mine, I'd cut it back.
Yeah.
I would. I don't like to be all head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I like light. I like to see.
James could get Granddaddy in the truck there with him some morning when he's going over there. And just take him over there to Williston and say, now.
He won't go with him. James tries to get him. You know, he get out early in the morning.
Yeah.
He going somewhere. He come. Ask him, you want to ride with him? No, but I don't feel like it. I don't think so. Okay. Well, in the evening, when he comes, plenty of time, he'll ask him to come. Go ride. I said, buddy, you're just losing breath and time. Ask him. I said, when? It would mean so much to him if he would ride out sometime and get some fresh air. He'd get out there and start riding, he'd get lots of But set up down that porch sometime, none don't come there. And he'll sit up there.
He liked that porch, don't he?
Ooh, he loved it and won't screen it. He'll try to get him to screen it, you know, have it. Poor screen. He ain't got that kind of money.
See? Whenever you and Miss Daisy take your trip now, pick up a little of that gas. I might have tracked the gas.
Well, put it in the back of the car.
All right.
I'll go get it. All I got right. You some stamps, too.
Well, you haven't got anything from Miss Daisy this morning.
We just out can't everything. Have nothing every time, of course.
We just out everything.
Just sort of out of things this morning. But we'll get some.
Well, she could stay for lunch with us.
Yes, yeah, she could stay.
We always
lunch.
Got a bite to eat. That's about all.
Well, she gives me mighty nice things.
I'd like to live over by Miss Mary. I think she'd make a good neighbor. She'd be jolly.
Well, she has been ever since I knowed her. When she was growing up, I knowed her when I first knowed her. She must have been about 17.
Yeah.
She was friendly and nice. And since she growed up, she's that same Mary.
Yeah.
So.
And she talks a lot.
Oh, yes. She can talk.
And she just say anything.
I like her.
She talks about how mean she is.
How mean she is.
Yeah. She says she don't hide her meanness.
And she don't do nothing to nobody. No time.
Yes, sir. I think she'd be right jolly.
Oh. Well, I'll run Miss Daisy home if you'll put the gas thing in the back.
Okay.
And I'll get us some.
Well, I enjoyed my visit. I'll go back over here and do some course. I ain't gonna do much today.
You just lazy today.
I'm lazy today.
Well, there's not much after, and it's hard to get moving.
That doesn't sound like you, Miss Daisy.
But I'll tell you what about me. Now, just leave me alone. I can go on. But when I have to be in these big crowds and all of that, it takes me a day or two to get over there.
That's
I just
right.
can't stand
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
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 I know, me too. Me too. Both of us feel that way too.
Yeah.
So I don't try. I just rest and just get on out tomorrow. Maybe I can do a little better.
Yeah. Oh, that was just yesterday, Miss Daisy.
That.
I keep forgetting that was just yesterday, day before yesterday.
It was day before yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't doing it yet.
Well, now this is Channel 1 over and the end of Miss Daisy's visit on this Tuesday, the 18th of August, 1970. She was more subdued than I've ever seen her. The whole time, she just had no lift in her. She laughed once, twice, but it didn't carry over. And that's the end of the visit with Miss Daisy on her morning this Tuesday, the 18th of August, 1970. This is over towards the end of Channel 1 over. Oh, around 800-850 Channel 1 over. 800-850 Channel 1 over. And the end of the visit with Miss Daisy this Tuesday morning, the 18th of August, 1970. And she was really subdued.